Well, Merry Christmas. My name is Dominic, and I'm one of the pastors here at Central Peninsula Church, and we're so glad that you decided to spend this hour together with us. I love that. That was a great Mad Lib. I never thought about doing that, and I think we could just do that all morning. That was kind of fun. So thanks for participating in that. Christmas is a fascinating time of year because for me, I look at Christmas, and Christmas brings together, or we live out this tension, where the Christmas season on one side means something to us. You think about that. Christmas means something to you. There are certain rituals or practices that you do around this time of year. You're here this morning because in some way Christmas means something to you. Growing up, we had practices we did around Christmas. And one of those was on Christmas Eve, we would go to a church service kind of like this. And then as kids, we would go home and my grandparents would be there. And the nice thing about them being there wasn't necessarily that they were there, but we were allowed to open one present in front of my grandparents, which sounds exciting. It's actually a lot of pressure because you don't want to like open socks or something, you know, for your one present on Christmas Eve. So luckily, my mom kind of like pointed us to the good stuff that we could have. We all have practices. Christmas, this time of year, means something to each of us. The other side of the tension is this, is that at the same time, the meaning of Christmas can at times seem a bit elusive. It can seem a little bit out of our grasp. I mean, think about it. Tomorrow night, you're going to go to bed after all of this buildup, after everything that's happened these past few weeks, and you're going to go to sleep on the night of the 25th, wake up the morning of the 26th, and kind of go, "That was great. I really enjoyed all the meals and the parties, but it just feels like something missed. I feel like there's a little bit more to this story." I worked in the corporate world for a while, and it was fascinating. You'll go into the office on the 26th, and someone will say to you, "How was your Christmas?" And you'll say something like, "Good," or "Here's what we did." And then you carry on with your day. And we kind of go, "I get that. We've got to go. It's month end, quarter end, year end, lots going on. But at the same time, this is all this buildup around Christmas. It feels like there should be something more. And it just feels a little bit outside of our grasp." And so we live between this idea that Christmas means something to us. But at the same time, the meaning of Christmas seems just a little bit outside of our grasp. I want to share with you part of the Christmas story this morning. We've heard pieces of it in both the Advent reading and song. We heard pieces of it in the Mad Lib reading a moment ago. But I want to point out something about the Christmas story that I think kind of bridges that tension a little bit, that helps us connect what Christmas means to us and also the meaning of Christmas. I'm going to read from one of the gospel writers, one of the writers of Jesus' story. His name was Luke. And as I do that, would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for this time of the year to stop and remember the good that you have done and brought to us in Jesus. God, would you speak to every life here today? Every story that's been brought into this room matters because you have created us and called us to something bigger than ourselves. Would this Christmas be a Christmas unlike any other? In Jesus' name, amen. Here's part of the Christmas story we're going to read this morning, and that can kind of bridge some of that gap for us. Luke chapter 2, it'll be on the screen, a couple verses beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So Luke starts the story, or picks this part of the story, and highlights several important things for us. Several interesting things. One is he talks about shepherds. We sang about them. You might be familiar. If you're familiar with the Christmas story, you've heard about shepherds. Shepherds, though you may not know this, were outsiders. They were people who literally worked outside of the village. But also in that particular day and time, their work excluded them from being kind of an insider in the religious community. So at the beginning of the Christmas story, if you were listening to this back in Luke's day, you would hear about shepherds and you would hear about people who were on the outside. The other interesting thing in this, as he starts this story, is he talks about shepherds working at night. Now, this was literally happening at night. Christmas started at nighttime. If you come tonight to the 4 o'clock service, we've got this opening piece that talks about the beauty of light breaking into the darkness. So there's a literal night of what's going on there, but there's also a spiritual night. And Kevin talked about this earlier. These are people for hundreds of years have longed to hear God speak to them. And this night would change everything. The night, in that sense, would end forever because of Christmas. And we see a little bit of what happens here in verse 9 that talks about that the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Now, glory is about as much of a church word as you can get, and I've grown up in church, so I should know that. But glory is a word that means weight. It means significance. It's a word often in the Bible that's depicted with radiance and light. In other words, it confronts the darkness. So if you were hearing this story back in Luke's day, you would hear, okay, we've got outsiders who are dwelling at night, and all of a sudden glory breaks in, and so there's a confrontation between the darkness and the light. Something's happening on this Christmas that's never happened in quite this way before. And then comes this in starting in verse 10. And then the angel says to these outsiders, to these shepherds who are out at night in wrestling with stumbling in the dark spiritually, he says, do not be afraid. He says that because whenever an angel showed up to people in the Bible, they were freaked out. It was not the little cuddly baby looking ones. These were terrifying things. Heaven was breaking in on earth. It should jar them, and it did. And so he says, do not be afraid. For I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, a couple things worth pointing out, and particularly in light of the time of period that this story occurs. This word, or these two words, good news, is a Greek word that in that day and time was very common. In fact, we translate that Greek word often as the English word gospel. So good news or gospel. And that day, that word was used in some of the same ways. And in fact, in that day, the world was ruled by Rome, and Rome had good news. They spoke about good news coming into the world, and they believed that good news came into the world through their ruler, a guy named Caesar, and particularly Caesar Augustus. In fact, about 30 years before this happens, this Christmas day, Augustus defeats the last of Rome's enemies. And they say of him that peace is brought into the world at that time. 30 years before Christmas, the Romans say, you know what? We've got what we need. Thank you very much. And it all happened because of Caesar. 15 years before Christmas happens, the Senate, the government of Rome decrees that Caesar Augustus himself is divine. They use phrases about him. They call him Son of God and Lord and Savior. And they say through him, good news has come into the world. The poets talked about him. Virgil, the ancient poet, talked about Caesar and said that this promised one, Caesar Augustus, is a son of God, destined to rule, whose empire shall reach to the ocean's limit and whose fame will end in the stars. In fact, Rome believed so much in their good news, and they believed so much that good news had happened through Caesar that they went around celebrating his birthday. They talked about the advent or the coming of Caesar. In fact, an inscription that archaeologists have discovered in modern-day Turkey goes like this. It won't be on the screen. You can listen to it. It says, the providence that has divinely ordered our existence has brought to life the most perfect good in Augustus, whom she filled with virtues to the benefit of mankind, bestowing him upon us and our descendants as a savior. He who put an end to war and will order peace, Caesar, who by his epiphany, his coming, his arrival, exceeded the hopes of those who prophesied good tidings. The birthday of God first brought to the world the good tidings residing in him. That's a lot. But the point is, these are people who believed that good news had come into the world. Which makes what happens at Christmas all the more powerful. When the angel says that good news has come that will bring great joy for all people, it's confronting the way the world works. When the angel talks about a baby being born who will be Savior and Lord, they're confronting who rules the world. This is a different day, a day unlike any other. This is Christmas. It gives hope to people who have followed saviors and lords that didn't work out. It gives hope to people who are living in the dark. It gives hope to people who are outsiders and long to be brought in. What the angel declares is that the good news that we've all longed for is happening in the person of Jesus. And not only that, as if that weren't enough, but the angel talks about this good news for all people. In other words, that Christmas is for all people. Now, we're not getting that upside down. Christmas is about Jesus. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're singing about. That's what the Bible's about. But somehow within that, it's about Jesus, and Jesus is for people. He's for people like you and me. And so sometimes we can kind of keep Christmas at a distance and miss that Christmas is for us because Jesus is for us. Maybe you've never thought about that before. Maybe you've never thought of a God who would be for you. That's what the angel says. They said, today something has happened that is good news for all people. That means no one gets excluded from this. It's available to all of us. This is a day unlike any other. It means that Jesus is for outsiders who long to be included. Jesus is for the lonely who wonder if God has forgotten them. Jesus is for those who are living in darkness and need a glimpse of glory. Maybe that's you. I've been struck by that the last few days, this whole image of Christmas breaking in on night. That somehow those of us who are trying to figure things out can have hope. Maybe that's the story you brought in this morning. Maybe you feel like you've been living in the darkness and you just wonder, will there ever be light? Maybe you have felt like an outsider, and as much as you try, you never can seem to get in, whatever in is. If that's you, Christmas is for you. Maybe you've heard this story before and you're right in, and you've followed Jesus and you've committed your life to him as your Lord, and rejected all the things that the world has had to offer as an alternative. If that's you, then Christmas is for you. Christmas is for all of us. Whatever story you have brought into this room today, Christmas is for you, because Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus is for you. In fact, later in Jesus' life, it all comes into this culminating moment where he dies on the cross. That's Easter. That's a little bit later. I know. I haven't lost track of the calendar. But it's important to see Christmas in the context of Easter. Because to understand how much God is for you and how much God loves you, you have to see Christmas in the context of Easter. And at Easter, Jesus willingly dies for people like you and me. He dies because you are loved by God. He comes at Christmas because you are loved by God. The centerpiece of Christmas is Jesus, and Jesus is for you. And so what do you do on this Christmas season? Well, I think no matter who we are and no matter what story you brought into the room today, it's maybe just taking a few moments and considering that God is for you, that God has done something for you that no one else has done. He's given his son for you to have new life. Wherever story you brought into this room, wherever you've been, wherever you're going, Christmas is about a God who has come for you. So what I want to do is I want to close in prayer, and we're going to sing another song and do a last couple things this morning. But as I close in prayer, I want to leave some space, and I want to pray for us, and I want to give you space to hear from God. I don't know how your Christmas season has gone. If it's a little bit like mine, you've kind of just been all over the place and your mind's been everywhere, and maybe you physically have been all over the place, and maybe you just haven't stopped somewhere. Maybe you just haven't taken a moment to be still. And so I want to give us a moment in the midst of prayer to allow God to speak to you and maybe for you to speak to God. So would you pray with me, and then I'll give us some space within this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the power and the beauty of your love displayed at Christmas. It is good news for all of us. God, I pray for each person in this room that this Christmas season we would stop and know and remember that we're not alone. That the joy that we feel at the Christmas season, we would know is joy that's based in your love for us. That the heartache that we may feel at this Christmas season, that we know that there's hope. That if we feel like an outsider, like the shepherds, if we're at night, if we don't know the way to go, to know that Christmas means that there's hope. If you're here this morning, I just want you, as you're here this morning, to just take a moment and let God speak to your heart. And we're just going to leave a moment of silence, and I know silence can be strange, but just maybe give us a moment to be still and allow God to speak, and then I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift, again, of Jesus, that we can have life in him. Thank you for your love for us, for each one of us here today. Would you implant this in Christmas, that we would begin to bridge the gap between what it means to us and the meaning of Christmas, that we would know that those are met together in Jesus. I pray for each person in this room, again, God, whatever story we brought, that we would leave at your feet, and we would accept a new gift of life in Jesus. It's in his name we pray.